had an amazing time here, haven't we? The goodness of Jesus, His presence speaking to all of our hearts. One thing that I, because my wife and I were in Israel and then in Hungary, we didn't send a whole lot of stuff, a few pictures of while we were there. But one thing I really ask you to pray with us about, my nephew, Ben, went with Samaritan's Purse to Iraq to do some pictures, some videoing for them, and ran across a group called the Yazidi. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a marginalized group in Iraq, about 500,000 of them. ISIS just totally decimating them. And Samaritan's Purse was had a school for the children and taking care of that, and they were going to pull out their support. So my nephew just felt like, wow, that would not be a good thing. So he has taken it on as a project to help these children of this Yazidi group. The Muslims don't like them, the Christians don't like them, but God loves them. So I just ask that you pray, because it takes a lot of finances to keep something like that going, and I know they're challenged with that. So it's one of the things we do, and we're just grateful to the goodness of God. We have heard from heaven this week. We started out with Brother Henry sharing, and this must have been the conference of three words, because a number of you've had three words. But it was priorities, setting priorities, if you recall, purpose, and then passion. And that passion is the key, because our focus is on having the presence of God, cultivating the presence of God. Yeah. And then the next day we heard from Pastor Kim, and he shared with us other three words from John 15, if you recall. It was to remain, meno. I thought you were going to preach about Menno Simons there for a minute. To remain, and then to obey, and then to agree. A real challenging word to all of our hearts. And then we heard from Brother Juan, same passage of Scripture, to be connected with Jesus. So God has been speaking to us in a wonderful, wonderful way. P.C. Alexander challenged us to keep our eyes on the Lord and on the things that He's made available to us, as opposed to the adversary. And that was a powerful word for us, because you know what? I believe God's about to do some amazing things. But in the midst of it, there are adversaries. And so we do want to focus on what God is doing, not what He isn't doing, and not what the enemy is doing. Praise God. Pastor Mel challenged us about the supernatural lifestyle, just believing the Holy Spirit, trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us in every area of our lives. And then last night, Bishop Childs came up with another three words, little longer words. They were preparation, and so we've been doing that. This whole conference has been preparation. Anticipation, that's what I want to share about today. And then we're going to end with communion, which is thanksgiving or appreciation. So I want to share with you from Ephesians chapter 3, two prayers. I want to just briefly focus on two prayers. Paul prays. He says, for this reason, now, for this reason takes us back to the whole rest of the book, which we don't have time for, but basically based on God's provision for us through Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man, according to His riches and glory. We hear Romans 3:23 often quoted, and it's kind of a negative verse for what? Help me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's a positive verse in this sense, that it shows us what God has created us for. He's created us for glory. Because of sin, we come short of it, but He's created us for glory. and the best definition of glory, who He is and what He does. So He's created us for fellowship and intimacy. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. That's what He longs for out of all of us. And we've been challenged all week to focus on that which He wants. Yeah? To be strengthened with power by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But wait a minute. I thought He already dwelt in our hearts. Does He? Those of us that know Him, He dwells in our hearts. Yeah? So what's Paul talking about? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Well, we've been challenged already this week that there is so much more of God that we can have than what we've experienced. Yeah? So much. I mean, God, just look at the universe, and God created all that. So you kind of get the picture of how big He is and who He is. And your grandson gave us a wonderful, challenging picture of who Jesus is, and yet, even there he said, I wish I could tell you about Him. Because, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Reminds me of, you've all heard of Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorite stories. Smith Wigglesworth, a man of faith, man of power. And a young man read a story about him, and in it he read about a prayer meeting that Smith Wigglesworth was in. And in that prayer meeting, as the old man started praying, one by one, the glory became so heavy that others had to leave because they weren't accustomed to that weight of glory. And this young man, as he read it, he said, Lord, I'd like to have an opportunity. If I can be in a prayer meeting with Him, I will not leave. 2 years later, he had the chance. He was in a prayer meeting with Smith Wigglesworth. And again, as the old man started praying, the presence of God, the glory of God started increasing and increasing. And one by one, other people started leaving the prayer meeting because the weightiness became so heavy. And he started holding on to his chair. I am not leaving. But pretty soon it became so heavy, with tears streaming down his face, he left because he felt like, if I didn't leave, I'm going to die. Listen, there is a weight of glory available to us as His people. We need to be strengthened by His Spirit in our inner man so that we can contain that kind of glory. We're talking about anticipation. I believe with all my heart that we are on the verge of God moving by His glory in a way like we've never seen, but like we've longed to see. And so we need to ask the Lord, Lord, strengthen me by Your Spirit in the inner man. I think it's one of the things that He's been doing in this conference, putting within to our hearts something more of what we need, so that when He moves by His Spirit, we're not destroyed, we don't get offended, whatever. Yeah? I believe it's coming. I have complete confidence that we are in a time of suddenly in the purposes of God. God's going to do it suddenly. 400 years, nothing happened. Suddenly, Jesus came on the scene. I think we're in a season of suddenly. I can't go into why, but I have confidence in that. And I want to be ready for what He wants to do. And so that's Paul's prayer. And that's my prayer with him for all of us. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. These are some, you know, we read verses, but they're not just nice verses. It's something God can cause us to experience, that we be filled with the fullness of God. What does that look like? I don't know, but I want to know. Don't you? That we would understand the love of God like we've never understood it before. You've noticed the world's in a mess. Have you noticed that? In fact, let's see, who was it? Bishop, you mentioned that God spoke to you that we're to tune in to heaven's news. Well, I appreciate that because about a month ago I realized I've got to stop listening to the news. I've just got to stop. I want to pray through that I could make the news, but I got to stop listening to the news because it's so negative. And so, I mean, I do, you know, get on the internet now instead of listening and try to get just what is going on so that I'm not totally ignorant. But the point is, we do have to hear from heaven. We have to hear from heaven. And one of the challenges is this immigration and the Muslims and all that stuff. You know, they are messed up. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, they're a mission field. And if they do come to us, we need to love them and see them as a mission field. That God can grip their hearts and change their lives. He's doing that. He's visiting Muslim countries. Jesus himself is visiting in visions and dreams Muslim countries and people. And they're being saved. And that's one of the things the Muslims don't want us to know and are trying to stamp out. But if we really know the love of God, we're going to see revival when that's flowing in and through our lives. And I appreciate KLN and the vision that God's given us and the hunger and the desire to see His kingdom come and His will be done in our sphere of earth as it is in heaven. We it's not formulas. We don't want to live by principles. We want to live out of relationship by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we want to live. We want to hear from heaven, obey Him, do what He wants us to do. Now, there are times when God lets us go through darkness. Isaiah 50 talks about that's the time to live by principle. But in general, we need to live out of relationship. Yes? Are we all in the same place, right place here? Praise God. It's so wonderful, so exciting. Okay, here's a verse we've heard it quoted probably 3 or 4 times. Now to him who is able to exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's an amazing verse, because I can think about quite a few things and ask for a lot of stuff, huh? What is beyond what we can ask or think? What is beyond that? Graham Cook said, dreaming. Dreaming is beyond what we can ask or think. And that was quick, and I like that. Because we need to dream big. This is a day to dream big. We want to touch the world by God's grace. We want to make a difference by God's grace. And so we can dream big because God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing. I was challenged. We were in Israel and met him before, but Lars Enerson is his name. He's from Sweden, a wonderful missionary. He's written a book on Jerusalem, which I recommend to you. I don't remember the name, but I'll try to get it to some of the leaders here. In it, he declares about the Temple Mount and the challenge that all goes about that. But he also makes a case, and I'll just throw it out for interest's sake. You can study it if you want to. That area, Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, really was the original Garden of Eden. That area. And interestingly enough, when we went to the Wailing Wall, they had a thing out to read, and in it, that's what it said. I mean, the Jews were saying that this was the original Garden of Eden, basically. And he makes a case for why the Tigris and the Euphrates used to be there. I mean, it's just interesting. But in it, he told us a story about a friend of his named Omar. Omar or Oman, I can't remember now. But in 1964, his friend, at 25 years of age, went to South Korea. South Korea was going through a famine at that time in February of 1964. He didn't know it. He had bought a big bag of wheat just to, of rice just to live off of. And one day he hears this wailing outside their building, outside their house. And he asks his housekeeper, what is that? She says, oh, there's a famine and it's a family crying because they don't have food for their kids and they're in trouble. So he goes out and ministers to them. Their boy was already in a coma because he hadn't eaten in such a long time. And so he gave them some rice. And then the Lord gives him a vision. And in this vision, he sees the woman of Zarephath from 1 Kings chapter 17, sees her and how she ministers to Elijah. And above her, as he sees this whole story unfold, and above that, he sees share or die. And he realized that that was what this story was. She had to share with Elijah so that God could multiply the food or else they all would die. I mean, they could have eaten that, but then there wouldn't have been anything left. And he realized God was saying that to him. And so he tells his housekeeper, anyone that comes to the house, I want you to give them a half a gallon of rice. And she says, you're crazy. Because soon as the word gets out, everybody's going to line up and this bag is going to be gone in no time. He says, well, all I know is I feel that's what we're supposed to do. People started coming. Listen, for 7 months they came, and out of that one bag of rice, they fed 50,000 people. If you do the math, at the minimum, that would have been 100,000 pounds of rice that came out of that bag. That's at a minimum. Now tell me that there's nothing that God can do. Tell me give me something that He can't. God is able. So I don't care what the challenge is here today, whether it's finances for a building, whatever it is, our God is well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. And that's my anticipation. As we go home from this conference, that we're taking something with us that God has deposited into our spirit, whether we're aware of it or not, that we're going to start, we'll pray for someone, we pray for people before, nothing happened, but we pray and something happens, and they have a baby 9 months later, whatever, as we heard already this morning. Huh? God can do it. It's my expectation, it's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the glory, who He is and what He does, to be revealed in a greater way in our midst than we've ever known before. One of the things that I'll just say that I was really challenged by being here this time is just hearing all the things that are happening and all the things that we could get involved in. And when we do it together, it's just so much more effective. And I'm going to try, by God's grace, to get the word out to everyone that I know of the missions opportunities that are happening and just to see what God will do, so that we can touch the world. Amen? Isaac of Stella, a Cistercian monk. I know you never heard of him because I hadn't either. A Cistercian monk from the 12th century wrote a prayer. And I'd like to pray that prayer over us this morning. It's a very simple, very short prayer. It's this. May the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so that for you, He will become immeasurable. And that in you, He will become laughter, exaltation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take from you. Isn't that good? Well, someone in the 12th century got it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, making a difference so that we understand how immeasurable He is, even as we heard last night. Christ in you, the laughter. religion doesn't want you to laugh very much. But joy is it's the way heaven operates. I mean, you go to heaven and it's just filled with joy. Yeah? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that we experience that in our lives to such a degree that no one can take it from us. And so this morning we're going to end with communion. Communion, unfortunately, in the Western world often has become a form, a little ritual, but really.